The stock market is trading near all-time highs, so everything must be good with the economy, right? Although this is a commonly held belief, our next guest, Alessio Rastani, proves that this is a dangerous and pernicious lie. Earning his law degree in 2003 before launching his independent investment research platform, Mr. Rastani currently serves as owner of LeadingTrader.com. He also actively runs his Alessio Rastani YouTube channel, which has over 180,000 subscribers. In this hard-hitting interview, Mr. Rastani adamantly states that there is no correlation between market pricing and economic health. Instead, he urges investors to adopt a contrarian view against the mainstream sell tactics, which you can read about at crushthestreet.com/enemy. Not only can you find critical warnings, you'll learn valuable strategies that will make you profitable while others are sinking. Once again, please go to crushthestreet.com/enemy. So without further ado, here's Alessio Rastani.
Hello, everyone, and welcome into crushthestreet.com. I am Kenneth Amadori, and I'm joined today with a brand new guest, someone who I've seen really make a major name for himself and someone who puts out tremendously amazing content on YouTube. He's got a really exciting site that puts out a lot of great education, and you can visit it at leadingtrader.com. His name is Alessio Rastani. He's someone who's worked as an independent trader and in research of the financial markets for 10 years. And has just become a leading commentator on the financial market. So it's a pleasure to have him on the show today. Alessio, thanks for coming on Crush the Street with me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Kenneth. Good to be on the show.
So let's start off here. You really cover the markets well and the different sectors, but I really want to kind of cover the stock market and as it pertains to the economy at the moment. And you have a very interesting video on your YouTube channel, which I highly recommend everyone to visit, that kind of talks about the unemployment rate correlating to the stock market. So I'd like to start there to kind of get an idea of what your thoughts are on the current environment with the stock market.
Yeah, it's a good question. And the video you're talking about is where, so just for people who may not be aware of what we're talking about, I always get a bit annoyed when you hear politicians and media pundits and, you know, these people on CNBC, Bloomberg or whatever, saying, oh, well, you know, the economy is doing fantastic and the economy fundamentals are great and therefore nothing to worry about when it comes, you know, there's no risk of a market crash, or there's no risk of a bear market, so the stock market should do pretty well. I always say, in fact, you can speak to almost any professional trader. You can talk to any professional investor, someone who knows what they're talking about. And I guarantee you, they'll tell you that it's absolute nonsense. This is not my own personal opinion. Go ahead and speak to almost any professional trader, investor out there. And they will tell you, actually, there is no correlation between the stock market and the economy. That correlation is an illusion. It's an understandable illusion because the financial media keep talking about the stock market, so the economy is doing, must be, you know, if the market goes down, they think the economy is doing bad. If the market goes up, oh, the economy is doing good. This is why I find the financial media to be absolutely useless when it comes to educating the public about, you know, things like, what does it mean when the market goes up? What does it mean the market goes down? And people trying to find reasons into it. And I would say this, by the way, hopefully I've got the book over here so I can show it to your viewers. And nope, I don't have it in front of me. But there is a fantastic book. I don't know what I've done with it. That really kind of blew my mind a long time ago. And I think it'll blow a lot of your viewers' minds too, which is that professional traders like Jerry Parker. People may not have heard of Jerry Parker, but they probably have heard of Richard Dennis. So back in the day, back in the 1980s, Richard Dennis, this phenomenally famous trader, he put an advert in the paper that he could train anybody to become an expert on trading. which, by the way, there's a film on this. You might have seen this yourself, Kenneth. I think everyone's seen this film called Trading Places. Got Eddie Murphy in it and Dan Aykroyd. Have you seen this film?
I'm familiar.
You remember what I'm talking about? Trading Places?
Yes, I am.
So in that film, these two billionaires, they put an advert in the paper to saying, hey, I can train anybody to be to become a trader. And Eddie Murphy is the one they pick. And the truth is, it's actually a true story. Richard Dennis and his colleague, Eckhart, I believe his name was, they put an advert in the paper and they trained these normal guys to become traders. One of these normal guys who became a billionaire hedge fund manager eventually in his own right is Jerry Parker. So Jerry Parker, in this other book, which is by Michael Covell, the book is called, it's called The Turtles, The Story of the Turtles. Anyway, without confusing your viewers, bottom line is that Jerry Parker, he realized something interesting. His clients, remember, he's a hedge fund manager, his clients could not understand why, for example, their accounts would go up and their accounts would go down. They couldn't understand their reason. But first of all, Jerry Parker could not tell his clients as to what was going on with his decision making. So when he made decisions to buy, when he made decisions to sell in his fund, his clients couldn't understand what he was doing, right? And they couldn't understand it because most people don't understand anything about charts. And again, this is way back in the 90s, this is like a long time ago now. So the way he could explain to his clients what he was doing was to give them something he could understand, like talk about the economy, the market, the economy is doing this, the economy is that. But the truth is, and if you read this book by Michael Covell, is that his reasons for going and buying stocks and selling stocks had nothing to do with things about the economy or the central banks or the unemployment rating. It's nothing to do with that. No, his decision was based on technical analysis or charts, chart analysis. Okay. So I hope I haven't put your viewers to sleep here, but what I'm trying to say is that if you speak to professional traders, they don't care about things like economy and economic reports, what's the other one? Unemployment reports, GDP. Same with Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett, one of the richest share investor in the world, he doesn't care about things like economic reports. He doesn't care about things like unemployment, GDP reports. He makes decisions based on value. Is it a good company? Is it make a solid business? And so on and so on. So bottom line is this, the chart that you, and maybe you can edit out a whole bunch of what I said because I probably put people to sleep with what I said, but I think it's important to appreciate is what I was trying to say. What I'm trying to say here is this. Whenever you hear people on television, media pundits, financial pundits talking about, the economy, the fundamentals are good, therefore there's no risk of a recession, there's no risk of a crash, is absolute nonsense. I mean, people have got such a short memory. They don't remember what happened 10 years, 12 years ago. When in 2007, people were saying the exact same thing. The economy is good, fantastic, brilliant. And then what happened? Boom, we went down. In 2015, people were saying the exact same thing. And then what happened? We had the Greek crisis, and then we had China and all that. And then the market went into a major downturn around about in 2015 as well. There was on the front page cover, you probably saw this yourself, Kenneth, on my video. The front cover of Barron magazine just said recently something extraordinary, which was this bull market has no expiration date. There's no expiration date on the bull market. And whenever you hear things like that from major financial journals, that you got to be careful. You got to be very alert. That is a contrarian signal often. So I would say, it does look that the market is becoming, people in the market, investors are becoming very complacent. They're becoming too comfortable, and volatility has dropped quite completely. Volatility in the stock market has dropped. So we are, I would say, in about the right conditions where you might see something big happening. I don't think it's going to happen just now. I think that the stock market has a bit further upside to go. Right now, we're about, 2,900 at the moment, 2,890 is where we are right now, almost. But I think the S&P probably could go higher. A good friend of mine, Zach Meir, he said that he could see the stock market going back to retest the previous highs it made in this September. I think that's quite likely. We might go and retest those highs And then when eventually we go a bit further higher, you know, brace for impact, because then I see the market eventually going way back down. I think the stock market could go way back down tremendously. And again, we'll talk about it another time, but, you know, be prepared for a major downturn in the stock market. I would say, well, I don't want to put any dates or times on it, but I would expect in the next, potentially next couple of months, potentially next few months.
Yes, no, that, and that's definitely something to keep in mind, considering we're 10 years into this bull market and, you know, everything seems to be, as far as like the, what I got from that video was, you know, the unemployment rates are at historic lows and, you know, the stock markets at our highs, and it seems like there's this inverse correlation to what happens there, right? And maybe you could just touch on that real briefly.
Yeah, that's a good point. Unemployment, I mean, okay, so what you're talking about is that the unemployment rate was extremely low in 2007, as also it was in the year 2000. So lowest unemployment in the year 2007, and also in the year 2000, which, by the way, preceded a major recession, a major economic fall and economic downturn, and also a fall in the stock market. Now, we have to be careful here. I don't want to give the people the impression that what I'm trying to say here is that that correlation is causation. So we're not saying that the unemployment rate being so low caused the recession or the economic crash. That's not what we're saying. There is a correlation, you're absolutely right, that low unemployment, very low unemployment, is correlated with the beginnings of a potential turn in the market, in the economy. Well, but one thing we also have to appreciate is that the unemployment rate can continue going lower. So it could continue going lower before finally the recession starts, and then the unemployment rate goes up again. So what we've seen before in the charts, so going back to 2007, was very low unemployment, historically very low unemployment in 2007, and everybody on the financial media was saying what? Oh, nothing to worry about because the economy is so strong. Even as we saw, Reuters newspaper famously put an article in the paper saying that George W. Bush is saying economic fundamentals are really strong. Some fundamentals are so strong, nothing to worry about. There's no risk of a crash. And that's exactly, that was in 2007, right only a few months before Lehman Brothers collapsed, Bear Stearns collapsed, some of the biggest financial firms in the world, which nobody thought would ever go down, and they went down. So look, I don't want to be like, I don't want to be Mr. Doom here. I don't want to get sort of the reputation for being, you know, Mr. Doom. But what I'm trying to say is, all I'm trying to say here is this, that a good investor needs to be a good contrarian. You need to be thinking differently from the herd. Sometimes the herd, in other words, everybody else, the people on the wrong side, sometimes that could be the people in the financial media, all right? So don't expect people in the CNBC and Bloomberg world, they know all they're talking about. They don't. Sometimes they can be part of the herd. Sometimes these guys want to say things so they don't look foolish. Just think about it like this. Usually when markets are going up and up, imagine this, Kenneth. If you went on CNBC, and let's say you are a financial guru, in quotation marks, with reputation that you want to protect, it's unlikely you're going to go on CNBC or Bloomberg and say, well, I think the market's going to go down and we're going to go recession. Why? Because everybody might ridicule you. It's like, wait a second, the stock market is going to 3,000. We're making new highs. And there is a fear among so-called experts in the financial media. They don't want to look foolish. They don't want to be ridiculed, okay? So that's why you might not see them saying things, because they're afraid of being ridiculed, right? So remember, in a massive bull market, when the stock market keeps going higher and higher, if somebody goes on financial media and says, hey, I think you're coming close to a recession and the market's going to go down, you might look foolish and they might not say anything. That's why financial experts can often be part of the herd. They can be part of everybody else. So you need to be careful. They can be contrarian signals too. But I would recommend everybody out there to read this book, Market Wizards by Jack Schwager. It's an interview written decades ago, by the way, in the 1980s. I would say this is a fantastic book. People should read it because it's an interview with some of the greatest traders of our time. Some of them probably are not alive anymore, presumably. But bottom line is that almost every single person that is interviewed in that book will tell you the same thing, that you got to be careful when everybody's going one way, all right? Because the professional investor, the good investor, goes the other way. You must be able to be brave enough to think by yourself and think differently from the herd, everybody else. So I would say, you know, the best lesson you can learn is whenever everybody is becoming extremely bullish on the stock market and maybe the economy, it's time to be on the alert and start thinking about, hey, Jim Rogers, another investor, famous investor, he says this. He says, when everybody is thinking the same thing, somebody is not thinking.
Yeah, you're either a contrarian or a victim in these markets. So Alessio, let's talk about something that we've covered a lot here at Crush the Street, and we're seeing a lot of action right now in Bitcoin, the cryptocurrency markets. We were fortunate to get in pretty early, and you know, it's been a huge blessing for myself and many of the people that follow the channel. So I'm very grateful to it, and I'm just curious, what are your thoughts on Bitcoin in general, and then what we're seeing in Bitcoin today as it's, you know, over $5,000 for one Bitcoin? I know it's down a little bit. I mean, it was hitting $5,400, and now it's getting back down close to $5,000 once again, but still materially much higher than it was even a couple weeks ago. So what are your general thoughts on it?
Yeah, so about Bitcoin, I mean, you say that you were lucky enough to get in early, but the thing is that a lot of folks weren't that lucky. I think a lot of people, and again, you may remember back in the year 2017, when the major rally, the bull market, went into a massive bubble.
November, December was
absolutely
great.
I heard stories that people were mortgaging their houses, getting loans out to buy Bitcoin at 20,000 or 17,000, 18,000. Those people, they've gone into a massive hole. They weren't smart enough to be like yourself, Kenneth, and people who follow you, that they bought early. Put it this way, if somebody bought Bitcoin even in the early, I would say probably the beginning of 2017, that'd still be, I think that in 2017 at the start.
At 1,000.
Yeah, it'd still be in profit, I presume. Yeah. But bottom line is this, for me personally, look, back in the day, I mean, 5 years, I would say, you know, when was it? Four years ago, I was a skeptic on Bitcoin. I wasn't completely sold on it. I've changed my view. I've evolved my view on Bitcoin. I think that Bitcoin certainly has a future. I think as a cryptocurrency of the future, certainly it has potential. We don't know, by the way, which cryptocurrency eventually will win out. Bitcoin, I think, has definitely high potential. Who knows? Maybe it's going to be Ethereum, Dash, or something else alongside with it. We don't know yet. We'll let everybody else fight that out. If I say it's Ripple, I'm gonna have my head pulled out by the Ripple haters. But there's a lot of people on social media and on YouTube.
Very religious community.
Yes, you're right. Yeah. But here's what I would say. As far as Bitcoin,
I'm not attacking people for that. I'm right there with them.
Yeah, absolutely, totally. So here's what I would say about Bitcoin situation right now. The big question, of course, right now is, you know, has Bitcoin bottomed in January when it fell in December, I think it was, or December of 2018. Did it bottom there? That's the big question. Now, in one of the videos that I made some time ago, and the video was called Should I Buy Bitcoin Now? I said, look, there are two types of people when it comes to Bitcoin. There's the value investors, and there is the momentum investors. Value investors don't care about, hey, have you bottomed or not. They're thinking, look, they would say, look, Bitcoin has fallen 90% to its lows in December. So who cares if it's bottomed or not? It's cheap. They, in their argument, if Bitcoin has fallen 90%, then it doesn't matter if it's bottomed or not. It's cheaper than what it was, 90% cheaper than what it was in 2017. So they see value, and they have a point, by the way. It's a perfectly valid point. And they say, you know what, doesn't matter. Even if you bought it in January or 3,000 or 4,000, they have a long-term perspective. So value investors have a long-term perspective. They think that it's good value. And that's fine. Nothing wrong with that. There is a different kind of investors or traders, people like maybe like me, maybe like you, I don't know. But for people like you and me, we're more analytical. So maybe we look at more at the charts. We try to find out, okay, so is this a bottom? Has the market gone back into an uptrend? So I guess you could call us trend followers as well. So trend followers are the kind of people who wait for the previous trend to finish, the bear market or the previous downtrend to finish, and then they start buying when the uptrend starts. That's a different kind of philosophy, and that's fine as well. So for a trend follower, he would say, okay, is it possible that the downtrend in Bitcoin has ended? That's the big question. I would say this. I think that I am not totally convinced that we've seen a bottom yet on Bitcoin. I think that the more likely scenario is, based on statistics, based on Elliott waves, and based on the general previous history, and I would say generally just the patterns right now, I am not convinced that Bitcoin is bottom. My perspective is that we could potentially see another retest of the lows we made on Bitcoin in December. Now, I don't know if Bitcoin is going to take out those lows and go below them. Maybe. It's probable. I think that my perspective would be that if we fall down to the lows of December near 3,000, that is going to be a very important, strong level. We might see Bitcoin actually holding that level and bouncing from it. And if Bitcoin falls down to near those lows of 3,000 and bounces from those lows, forming a kind of a double bottom formation, a W formation, that could very well be a sign of a bottom on Bitcoin. And if that happens, I can guarantee you, I would be aggressively buying Bitcoin at that point. And you know what? If Bitcoin falls below the lows of December, if Bitcoin falls even lower than 3,000, hey, even better. From the point of view an investor, from the point of view a long-term investor or buyer, that's even better because you can buy it cheaper. You know, and I would say this. I know some people are not convinced by that. So let me just argue at that point. If Bitcoin falls to 3,000 and someone buys at 3,000, that means Bitcoin has to go to 6,000 for you to double your money. Okay, so Bitcoin has to go from 3,000 to 6,000 for you to make 100% return. But imagine this, if Bitcoin fell to 1,000, I'm not saying it will, but let's just say imagine, for argument's sake, let's say Bitcoin fell to 1,000. That means Bitcoin has to go six times. That means Bitcoin has only go up to 2,000 for you to double your money. So the multiples are just better. I know this sounds like common sense. Some people are saying, well, this is obvious. Hey, Alessio, why are you telling us something that's so obvious? It's not obvious to everybody. What may sound so obvious to some people isn't obvious to everybody else. The multiples, all I'm saying is the multiples are better at lower prices. If somebody buys Bitcoin at 1,000, if Bitcoin goes from 1,000 to 6,000, you made six times your money, right? So you made five to six times your money. So imagine this. So all I'm saying is somebody who buys at 2,000 or 1,000, it takes a lower amount of rise in Bitcoin for you to make 100% gain. So the reason I'm mentioning this is because people may not understand why we're saying that if Bitcoin goes lower, it's a good thing, because the multiples are better, your rate of return is better. As Warren Buffett, I know Warren Buffett does not like Bitcoin, but even Warren Buffett would agree that, in fact, he said this, that the price you pay determines your rate of return, all right? By the way, not every person who buys Bitcoin buys it because they want to make money. A lot of people, there are some people who buy Bitcoin, not necessarily for financial reasons to make wealth, but purely because philosophical reasons. They believe that Bitcoin is going to be the money of the future. They have a different philosophy, and that's perfectly okay as well. So that's what I would say. So that's the way I see Bitcoin right now, is that we've got this pop, this rally in Bitcoin. I think this is probably going to be a repeat of 2015. I've said this in my recent video. It's probably a repeat of 2015, where Bitcoin surged, it went higher, it hit the monthly 21 moving average, the 21 monthly moving average, which is a point of resistance. So if, People who are not, just in case people are watching this video and they're not understanding what I'm talking about, imagine you had an elastic band in your hand, yeah? And this elastic band is being stretched. So right now, Bitcoin is rallying. Bitcoin has rallied from 3,000 at the lows of December to the highs it made just recently at near 5,500, I think it was. 5,300, 5,500, I think it was, the highs recently. But imagine this. Imagine that's the elastic band being stretched, okay? And pretty soon, this elastic band is going to let go, and then boom, we're back down, okay? So when I say that Bitcoin has rallied back to a moving average, just think of it like that. Bitcoin has rallied back to a point of the center of gravity being stretched, and now it's going to go back down to its previous potential support. That's where I think is going to go. I think Bitcoin, I would be surprised if Bitcoin did not actually move back down, at least to retest those previous lows, if not of December, but at the very least the lows of January. I think, and again, in another video, I'll probably explain the reasons for that. But the bottom line is we've seen this happen before in Bitcoin in 2015, happened before in other markets. It's not just Bitcoin. Other markets do the exact same thing. After a bear market, usually the price has a massive surge. Everybody thinks, oh, the bull market is started and the bear market is finished. It hasn't. This is just, sometimes caused by a short squeeze when short sellers get squeezed out, causing a massive spike. Manipulation is definitely involved here. There's manipulation by bots, algorithms, and all that. And I think very likely I see this as a corrective rally, which means that Bitcoin eventually is going to roll back down, potentially to its previous lows. Let me know what you think, by the way.
I tend to be more on that value investor side. But in the short term here, it's kind of hard to say what's going to happen. I bought it because I believed that it was going to be adopted and built out. You know, we got in, you know, I bought some as low as $11, purchased a material amount at $800, and, done very, very grateful for what we've seen happen. You know, I sold quite a bit in the 5-digit range. And it's been good to, very, very good to me and my family. And more importantly, also the readers here and the viewers here at Crush the Street. So I think it's not going anywhere. I think the $5,000 price point is also indicative of, hey, the resilience that the crypto markets actually have, and that it's not going away, at least for me. Like, I felt like this is another reason to say, hey, you know, it's here to stay. It's reminding people that, you know, it's sticking around. But I'd like to move on. We're getting to the rough.
There is one more thing I want to mention. There is such a something I want to mention, which is something I want to make it very quick, which is that a lot of people might be forgetting that one of the reasons why Bitcoin, even if it goes to 6,000, I mean, it's an if, but let's say Bitcoin went up to 5,800, 5,900, or 6,000. Now, a lot of people must remember this, that a lot of folks bought Bitcoin probably at that range last year. You know, when Bitcoin dropped to 6,000,
I'm guessing in November, was it 6,000?
Yeah. 6,000 to 7,000. There's quite a lot of people who probably bought Bitcoin right about that range, 5,800 or 5,500 or 6,000 range. Why? Because they thought Bitcoin had bottomed. They thought it was good value at that point. But don't forget, a lot of people, most people in the market are very fickle. Not all investors are hodlers. Not every person who buys Bitcoin is a hodler. The majority, actually, here's the thing. Even, I would say this, even the strongest hodler, the most hardcore hodler, they're human beings. We're all human beings, and they can panic. So someone who may have bought Bitcoin to hold it forever, at the end of the day, they're human beings. And when they see the price of Bitcoin, let's say they bought Bitcoin at 6,000 and they saw it drop down below 6,000, and they probably panicked. And they may have just, here's the point, they may just have been waiting for an opportunity for Bitcoin to go back to that break-even price, the price they paid it for, and then to get out of it, all right? So if somebody bought Bitcoin at 6,000 or 5,900, that's a level of resistance, which means that's a level where sellers might regain control. Why? For the reason I just mentioned, because not every person who buys Bitcoin is a hardcore, long-term believer of Bitcoin. They're human beings. They can panic. They lost their nerve. And when Bitcoin fell from 6,000 to 3,000, they very much panicked. They lost half their money. And, well, they lost half their money at that point. But they've probably been waiting for an opportunity just like this, for Bitcoin to go back to the break-even price. Because remember, these guys will say to themselves, well, if Bitcoin goes back to the price I paid for it, I'm going to get out. And that's what's happening right now. Bitcoin is going back up to the price they probably paid for it near the 5,800, 6,000 level. And they say, that's it. I just want to get out while I can, and so I don't lose money, right? Get out of break even. So that's the reason why you might see Bitcoin failing at 6,000 or near that level, maybe 5,800, then near the levels we're at right now, I would say as well.
That's a good point. And maybe one of the things that I would counter with, or just, you know, looking at the glass half full instead of half empty, is that, you know, if Bitcoin is real value, it's going to give people that opportunity to actually get out for what they paid for it, as opposed to just going straight to zero.
Yeah.
So from that perspective, people can.
There's a lot of people who still say, well, Bitcoin is going to go to zero. I would say they're about as intelligent as people who. I don't want to be rude, but I would say they're obviously wrong. I don't believe that. Sure. The reason why those people say that Bitcoin is going to go to zero is because they think they don't actually see it from your perspective, that Bitcoin has value at all.
Sure.
So yeah, they're very skeptical. Again, I don't agree with those people either. I think they're completely wrong.
Sure.
But there it is.
I respect people's opinions on that. And I see, and some of those opinions are why it's fair to say that it's experimental and we don't know what's going to happen in the future. So I'm completely in agreement on that. There's no guarantee of the future, but what we can do is stack the odds in our favor and try to anticipate what we think massive amounts of people are likely to do and where that capital is going to flow. And that's what I saw when it came to cryptocurrency early on. So I'd like to move on. I want to touch just briefly here on precious metals. We talked about contrarian investing. We talked about the markets. One of the things that is inversely correlated, again, not a causation as you put it, to the markets, but just a correlation, it tends to correlate with the markets, is gold. If we see stock markets start to go down, gold tends to go up. And we started to see that at the end of 2018 a little bit, where gold started to pick up some momentum and the stock market started to fail. So I'd like to just get some comments here. Are we going to need to see the stock market come down for gold to go up, or can gold do its own thing and have a move to 1500 without the stock market? Just some general thoughts on precious metals here in this environment.
Yeah, it's a very good question. It's a very good point. All I would say about gold is, I mean, I take your point about the stock market and everything, but I would say about this about gold. One of the major currencies you need to keep your eye on, for your viewers to keep your eye on, for anybody who's watching this, is if you're watching gold, you need to also be watching the dollar, because gold is priced against the dollar. Now, I know, don't get me wrong here, I'm sure gold bulls, hardcore bullish people on gold are probably going to disagree with me on that. They say, no, you can't price gold with dollar. Gold has its own value. Yes, I understand that. Please don't send me hate mail. I get that. I understand that hardcore fans of gold bulls, they don't like it when someone says, well, you got to look at the chart of dollar. You have to look at it against the dollar. No. But the bottom line is this. It is a fact that gold is correlated with the dollar. And when dollar usually goes up, what happens to gold? Gold goes the other way. So if you want to know what's going to happen to gold, you also need to also be watching what's happening with the dollar. You also need to be looking at interest rate yields. But just keeping it simple, I think that there is a potential that gold may go back to retest its previous highs that it made recently, but that really depends on the dollar as well. I actually am quite bullish on the dollar. I think the dollar could go up to potentially, I'm talking about the dollar index now, and the dollar could go up to 99 or 100. And the reason why I think the dollar could go up is because I am bearish also on the euro. So I'm bearish on the euro. The reason actually is a lot of things. There's a lot of uncertainty in Europe right now. Nobody knows what the heck is going on with Brexit. Nobody knows what the heck is going on with the European Union. You know, if Brexit happens, what's going to happen to the European Union? What's going to happen in the eurozone? So there's a lot of uncertainties right now with the euro, which kind of makes me bearish on the euro as a currency. But if the euro goes down, that has the opposite impact on the dollar, because the euro and the dollar are oppositely, you know, inversely correlated. Which means if the euro goes down, as I expect it's probably going to, then the dollar, if the dollar goes up, and if the dollar goes up, that's going to have a negative pressure. It's going to have negative influence on gold. So if you imagine the dollar going up, potentially going up to 99 or 100 on the dollar index, then that's going to put very severe downward pressure on gold, and gold probably might drop down to levels that it's been some months ago. Potentially it might go to 1250. A friend of mine, Zach, thinks it might go even lower than that. It might even fall back down way back to 1200, he thinks. So put it this way, just keeping it simple, if you want to know what's happening with gold, pay attention to what's happening with the dollar and what's happening with the euro. Because, again, what the dollar does will have a massive influence on the price of gold. So let's see, I would say this, let's see what happens with the dollar. If the dollar surges up, as I expect it's probably going to, then that's probably bad news for the moment on gold. Now, if gold goes back down, here's what I'm saying, if gold goes back down to 1250, 1200, I would be surprised if gold did not hold those levels, because 1200 is a kind of a magic number on gold. 1200 actually is the production, I believe it's what's called the production cost of gold. It's $1,200 is the cost of producing 1 ounce of gold, on average, by the way, on average. So bottom line is, that if gold falls back down to near those levels, 1250, 1225, or 1200, you're going to see a lot of volatility in that area. And I would expect that gold could potentially hold those levels, and that could produce a real buying opportunity. I think that I would be surprised if buyers did not get in and potentially start accumulating gold at those levels. I would put it this way. If gold falls back down to those levels, I myself would be getting aggressively bullish on gold myself. And I think here's what I would say. If gold does fall down to those levels, like 1250, 1200, that actually kind of approximates with the dollar going back to, let's say, 99 or 100 as well. So it's kind of a correlation. By the way, I think that the dollar will eventually top out. So even though I'm saying I'm bullish on the dollar, only for maybe this year, I think that once the dollar goes up, let's say to, you know, 99 or 100, I think potentially we could see the dollar top out. And that's approximately where gold will probably bottom out as well.
Alessio Rastani. Rastani, everybody. You know what? That was a very insightful, very level-headed, very reasonable, methodical interview. And I guess, you know, whether you agree to the degree on everything, whether you think the stock market's overvalued or undervalued, whether you like Bitcoin, whether you're not, hate gold, like gold. I mean, that was a very methodical, reasonable conversation about these sectors. And I really appreciate that about this conversation today. Alessio, if people want to learn more about you and your website, please let them know where they can go and what they can expect to find.
Yeah, sure. So people can join us on leadingtrader.com. They can join. We have a free subscription as well. We have a membership and we have a free subscription. So they can join me on leadingtrader.com. They can also join me on our YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/AlessioRastani, youtube.com/AlessioRastani, or just come to leadingtrader.com. It's either way. So, you know, we put videos out. I do, like you said, I do a tremendous amount of information. I put it out there for free for people because I really would love, I love, put it this way, I love sharing my ideas and my insights about the markets and putting it out there. And a lot of the ideas I share on my channel aren't necessarily just my own idiosyncratic ideas, but there are ideas actually many professional and experienced traders would agree with. It's commonly across the board as well. So, but I also would say this, that one of the things I've realized is that I like to also keep the videos short. So hopefully we haven't gone too long on this video. So hopefully people have stayed awake to watch the whole thing. But listen, thank you very much.
It was a little longer than normal, but it was great conversation and great topic. So seriously, Alessio, thank you for your time. It was greatly appreciated. You're welcome back here anytime. We'll be inviting you back in another couple months, or we'll have to do a follow-up, especially as things play out with Bitcoin, precious metals, the markets. We would love to get your insight. So thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, sure. Thanks very much. Thanks, Kenneth.